9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Senators unveil a bipartisan funding deal as pressure mounts to avoid a government shutdown. Plus, a new ruling could cripple the Trump Organization's ability to operate in New York. And riding the success of ChatGPT, OpenAI charts a course to a $90 billion valuation.
They're looking at $1 billion in revenue this year, which is a huge amount, especially for a company that, frankly, 12 months ago, no one had really heard of.
It's Wednesday, September 27th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Let's begin in Washington, where a bipartisan group of senators are putting pressure on House Republicans to avoid a government shutdown. Last night, senators voted 77-19 on a bill to fund the government through mid-November and provide additional money for Ukraine and disaster relief, with Senate Majority Leader Democrat Chuck Schumer calling it a bridge to cooperation. Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell also supports the plan, though that hasn't improved its reception in the GOP-led House, where Speaker Kevin McCarthy took issue with its lack of border provisions and said it amounted to, quote, picking Ukraine over Americans.
They have money already. They have enough money to carry them through for the next 45 days in Ukraine. But why does that take precedence over what's happening on the border?
Instead of picking up the Senate's bill, McCarthy says he'll bring forward his own short-term funding measure, probably on Friday, which would lower spending and tighten border security. Democrats have accused Republicans of wasting time and risking a shutdown with dead-end bills designed to appease the party's right wing. A New York judge has ruled that Donald Trump's certificates to do business in the state be canceled. That order came after the judge found Trump and his family business committed fraud in how they valued assets. The ruling could effectively cripple the Trump Organization's ability to operate in New York and is an early victory for State Attorney General Letitia James on part of her civil fraud case against Trump, which is set to go to trial next week. James had alleged that by overvaluing his real estate, Trump was able to obtain bank loans on more favorable terms. Trump has denied the allegations and attacked the case as politically motivated, while a lawyer for Trump called the ruling outrageous and said that Trump and his family would seek an appeal. And we're exclusively reporting that OpenAI is considering a share sale, valuing the AI startup behind ChatGPT at as much as $90 billion, a threefold increase from earlier this year. We've learned the company anticipates reaching $1 billion in revenue this year and is projecting significant growth into 2024. AI reporter Deepa Seetharaman tells us the potential deal will enable employees and other shareholders to cash in on the company's recent success.
This particular share sale will benefit primarily pre-existing shareholders, like employees, making sure that employees can cash out and benefit from the company's broader progress. In the past, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman has said that he doesn't want the company to go public and that the company is also unlikely to be acquired. And so these kinds of transactions are going to be important every now and again to help OpenAI employees reap the rewards of all their work. And for Microsoft, which owns 49% of OpenAI and has previously invested upwards of $10 billion in the company, this potential tender offer really offers them a chance to see a pretty big paper profit.
A valuation of $80 billion or more would make OpenAI one of the most highly valued global startups behind Elon Musk's SpaceX and TikTok owner ByteDance. Coming up, variable rate loans have dealt financial hardship to many mortgage holders lately, but also for businesses, leading to fresh warnings of corporate defaults. We've got that story and more after the break.
Support comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the big hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, and providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.
A new front is opening up for American businesses who have been relying on bank loans to fund their operations. Brands like Hanes and Petco are among the companies that have taken out $1.7 trillion worth of bank loans at a floating rate. And while that debt had ultra-low rates during the pandemic, higher rates now are hurting those companies' bottom lines. And according to Fitch, putting billions of dollars worth of loans at risk of default. Eric Wallerstein is a Journal finance reporter. Eric, $1.7 trillion, these are some stark numbers you are reporting. But before we get into them, just explain to us why these companies were so reliant on these loans for cash in the first place.
Yeah, so floating rate loans, especially during the era of ultra low interest rates, were extremely attractive. You could borrow large sums for 3%, maybe 4%, which was attractive to a business investing for much higher rates. So in both the case of Petco and Hanes brands, they definitely weren't highly rated by the credit agencies during the pandemic. They had some balance sheet issues. Ratings agencies were worried about their ability to pay down debt later on. So the high yield bond market might have treated them more restrictively and said like, hey, we're worried about your balance sheet, your ability to operate, and we're going to require a much higher rate to lend you money. So the bank loan market was much more attractive for them.
So these companies are risky in some respect in the eyes of lenders, and yet Hanes, Petco, these are big names with long histories. How is it possible a more expensive batch of loans here could hurt their bottom line so much, and just how much at risk are they?
So when you look at their cash flows each quarter compared to the interest costs they have to pay, Hanes brands especially, but even Petco, they're suffering from some of the economic headwinds. Customers aren't spending as much. For Petco, they're buying less pets. Hanes brands management has been facing an activist investor campaign against it. So the interest costs are progressively eating more and more into their cash flows. In the case of Petco, anywhere from a quarter to a third of their free cash flows. And for Hanes brands, they've been having to pay more interest costs than even cash they've been taking in each quarter. So it can definitely become more and more restrictive, especially as interest rates continue to climb.
Yeah, and as you report, Petco and Hanes are far from alone in contending with this, with ratings firm Fitch warning that nearly $270 billion worth of leveraged loans currently carry weak credit profiles and are potentially at risk of default. How serious of a possibility is that?
Yeah, so for a while, especially with the Fed support in the market, defaults weren't really a big worry. Consumers have been spending and revenues have been healthy, but now Fitch is seeing the most defaults since 2014 in the past 12 months, and we're kind of quickly getting to a forecasted default rate that looks closer to COVID and going back to the great financial crisis in 2009. So in the loan market, about 4.5% of those loans defaulted during 2020. And in the past 12 months, we're looking at a little more than 3%. So barring 2020, that's the highest number since 2014. And if the economy slows down at all, there could be a really big risk that dozens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars of these loans are defaulting.
Not a great outlook there. And what does that mean for lenders? Are they looking at their balance sheets now, worrying about liquidity if, in fact, they don't stand to have companies actually paying back this debt?
I would say it's definitely a risk for banks. They've been tightening their lending standards over the past couple quarters, saying we're only lending to high quality borrowers. We're going to take a more scrutinous look. But during the pandemic especially, a lot of these companies were able to get really favorable terms. The big risk going forward that analysts say is if the economy slows in a meaningful way. Companies won't be able to service their debt, customer spending won't be as high, bringing in less cash. And then for the banks, they're worried they won't be able to recover the cash they originally lent out. So it's definitely a little bit of a precarious time for the bank loan market, especially heading into what a lot of analysts say is a potential recession next year.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Wallerstein. Eric, thanks so much for bringing us this story.
Thanks, Luke.
Hollywood writers, fire up your word processors. After a five-month strike, Writers Guild of America members can return to work today after securing major wins in labor negotiations with studios, the details of which are now public. Among them, studios and streamers will hire a minimum number of writers per project, increase foreign royalties, and pay out bonuses when content performs well on streaming. Writers also receive some protections around studio use of AI, though not as much as writers sought. Guild members are scheduled to vote on the labor deal between October 2nd and 9th, with a finalized agreement potentially opening the door to resolving an ongoing actor strike. We are exclusively reporting that U.S. employees of TikTok have raised questions about a string of high-level personnel transfers from TikTok's China parent ByteDance, contending that they show ByteDance plays a greater role in TikTok's operations than publicly disclosed. Since the start of the year, ByteDance executives have taken on roles overseeing swaths of TikTok's advertising business, HR, monetization, and business marketing efforts, with some bringing teams from Beijing. In one instance, an employee flagged the leadership transfers to the staff of a U.S. senator, hoping it would spark an investigation, while others complained to managers that congressional testimony by TikTok's CEO misrepresented the company's relationship with ByteDance. A TikTok spokesman said it hasn't played down its relationship with ByteDance and that it's not uncommon at a large organization for employees to work in multiple locations over their careers. The amount of savings that U.S. households managed to accrue during the pandemic has shrunk as the economy grapples with higher inflation and slowing growth. But many still hold a significant cash pile that could help fight off a potential recession next year, or for instance, help them weather the resumption of federal student loan payments this weekend. And WSJ Heard on the Street columnist Justin Lehart says that crucially, data shows excess savings on a broad scale.
Data from Bank of America accounts shows that median household savings and checking balances are up by more than 40% since 2019 for poor, middle-class, and high-income households. That doesn't mean there aren't some people who have run out of cash, of course, and that there aren't others whose mattresses are still stuffed.
And Target is planning to close 9 stores in New York City, Seattle, San Francisco, and Portland, Oregon amid a rise in store thefts. The move comes as retailers say they are facing a growing wave of theft in recent years that's led to locking up more merchandise on shelves, hiring off-duty police officers, and closing some hard-hit stores. And finally, tech companies. They grow up so fast. Google turns 25 today, and in many ways, it's the same company it's been since its youth, still commanding a 90% market share on search and still reliant on its massive ad business to pay its bills. But between an ongoing anti-monopoly case brought by the DOJ and the company's recent foray into AI, Journal reporter Miles Krupa told our Tech News Briefing podcast that Google's mid-20s could see some big changes.
Google, as it is today, might not be what it is in a few years. This generative AI boom kicked off by the release of ChatGPT clearly has had ripple effects throughout Google. Seemingly every product at Google, whether it's Gmail and Docs or the company's core search engine or even YouTube, they're all moving fast to integrate generative AI products. With search especially, this new thing they're doing called Search Generative Experience is easily the most radical change we've seen to the search engine in decades.
And that's What's News for Wednesday morning. Additional sound in this episode is from Reuters. Today's show was produced by Mohsen Ali and Kate Bullivant. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff. And I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. Until then, thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.